Romans chapter 9, we're just really going to look at, just verse 11, speaking of Esau and Jacob, and it'll be the impetus. This is the only slide I have tonight, because we're going to move it, and you're going to be following me through these notes. I want to tell you this, can somebody bring my phone up here real quick, and because I need to kick off an email to send. I'm going to email everybody at home. You'll get this as well. I meant to do that already. So I don't have the greatest. It's by choice. I'm not a big phone guy. So let's see here. What a mess. We're recording. Okay, I got to get to good drafts. Go into it. I know. Okay, bear with me. And we send this bad boy. Let's get it out of here. It's probably at the bottom. I want to send it. Somebody send this. Here, send that email. You're in the email draft. Okay, you send that email. But for those at home, you'll get a copy. It'll be in the email text. And for those that have Word, it'll also be in there. You can get that as well. But it'll be in the email text if you'd like. Let's just read Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Title of the message tonight, What is Election All About? It says this. It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 11, For the children, this is Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. I'm just really using this as a springboard. I chose to go through Romans to force me to address the just complicated and controversial topics of predestination and election, and so this is the best place of any to really address this. I want to address three questions tonight. You'll see those in your notes. First, what does the word election mean? Second, what does the Bible tell us about election? And then third, for those described as God's elect, what was the purpose of their election? Just simple three questions. Let me help describe for you. I haven't always believed what I'm going to teach you tonight. I've been in different places in my life. When I was younger, I would respond to this emotionally. Then I had good people in my life that taught me differently, and I believed what I was taught, and I studied in that frame, and so I'm not blaming anybody. I'm telling you that I believe what I don't believe today. When I first started this work as a Bible study, as a mission, it would be 9 years ago, 8 years as an independent Baptist church. That's probably why you're confusion. I wasn't in the same place that I am tonight. I have wrestled with this. I have struggled with this, and I praise the Lord. I'm comfortable with what the scriptures say, and I want to teach you that tonight, and it's not nearly as complicated as I think I had made it, and so here's the key. I'm not here to preach this tonight to convince you in that to twist your arm so you believe what I believe. You see, that's the mistake we do. We believe what somebody tells us. What you need to believe is what you've studied. And so I encourage you, use this as an impetus for you to go study. This also is not going to be a hobby horse of mine. It's not going to be something I pound on. If I pound on anything, I hope it's Christ and his gospel, because that's what I think is the focus of the Bible. So let me just read for you my objectives. I've carefully worded these, so let me just read them. I'm not used to that. But it says, my objectives is to clearly communicate what I believe the Bible teaches about the doctrine of election. You have the right to know what your pastor believes. That's my objective tonight. Now let me tell you this. Look at this under this. It says, my personal belief is that this is a secondary doctrine, not a primary doctrine. Knowledge of this doctrine is important because it is included in the scriptures. It is secondary in that someone does not need to know this doctrine to be saved, to be a member of a church, to witness, to pursue, love, and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to raise a godly family, etc. This statement is not advocating ignorance. It is simply to try and provide perspective and balance. The word elect, elected, election, is mentioned in 27 out of the 783,137 words and 31,102 verses. That's just perspective. It doesn't mean that if it's only mentioned a little bit, it's not important to know. Everything isn't equally important in the Bible. And I don't think this is up there with the gospel and other things. So then let me tell you what I'm going to believe. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to believe, and then I have to prove that tonight. We're going to look at every single verse tonight that has the word elect, elected, and election in it. And so we're going to see what the word means, and then we're going to walk through that, and I want this just to be impetus for you to study. So what do I believe? Let me tell you what I don't believe first. I do not believe election has anything to do with who will be saved. And I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't say that either. Now, again, I want to tell you this. I want us to be a church that you don't have to agree with me on this, and we can coexist delightfully, joyfully, and you won't feel beat up by me. I want you to understand that. I know I've been on both sides. In fact, I think I'm on the third side now, if there's such a thing. And I want you to understand this, that the people that love me the most in life disagree with me tonight. And that's okay. The people that have poured their hearts and souls into me won't agree with me tonight. And that's okay. It's okay if you don't agree with me tonight. I will love you. Let's not let this cause division amongst us. By God's grace, I don't want to be the one that causes division with this doctrine, and I don't want you to cause division either. I think we can coexist. If we can have Christ as our focus, His gospel as our focus, and let's leave all things into His hands. But I think it's important that we learn this. So let me tell you what I do not believe. I don't believe this that election has anything to do with who will be saved. So let me just qualify with the two things. I do not believe the Bible teaches God elected or chose who would be saved in eternity past. You will not find that in any of the 27 verses I show you tonight. I also do not believe the foreknowledge of God was used to determine who would be saved as well. There's two camps. One camp that says, in eternity past, God chose who would be saved. There's another camp that says, God looked forward and saw who would believe, and so He chose them to be saved. You won't find either of those in the Bible. That's a bold statement. I want to show you that tonight. So, what do I believe? I believe biblical election is simply a picking out or choosing. That's what the word means. Biblical election is simply a picking out or choosing of God in relation to special service for the believer. So understand, here's what I believe. God, He chose believers for special service. That's it, folks. Nothing more, nothing less. The Bible says we are worms. And yet He chose us to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe that for five reasons, and there could have been more, but I just, praise the Lord, I limited it to five. First, this conclusion is consistent with the Greek meaning of the word eklektos. We'll look at these three words that are translated. Second, this conclusion is consistent with God's election of Jesus, Israel, angels, and the church at Babylon. We're going to look at these verses. Jesus is called God's elect. Nothing to do with salvation. Israel is called God's elect. Nothing to do with who would be saved. Angels are called the elect angels. Nothing to do with who would be saved. The church of Babylon is called that they were elected together. Nothing to do with who would be saved. Did the word elect change its meaning? Or listen to this. Jesus was chosen for special service. Israel was chosen for special service. Angels were chosen for special service. And the church of Babylon was chosen for special service. Consistent with the word. Number three, this conclusion is consistent with how the word election has been used historically. Understand this. This is a Greek word. It's not a heavenly word that came down and we're like, what does this mean? They used this word. You all know what election is today, right? It is the people choosing others out for special service. The Greek word meant that then, and it meant that with God's people. God electing, choosing believers for special service. That may be very disappointing to you because it is not as complicated as you've understood and feared, and I'm not afraid of this doctrine in any way, shape, or form. Number four, this conclusion is also consistent with God providing special blessings and opportunities for believers as described throughout the scriptures. You see, none of us in this room, either side that you're on, have issues with God providing special blessings for those that believe. God does that. This is one of those special blessings that God provides. He elects you, chooses you for special service unto him. Number five. Finally, this conclusion harmonizes with the rest of Scripture concerning God's love and provision for all. I struggled with this for years of my life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I was told that didn't mean God loved everybody. It just meant that God loved the Jews and the Gentiles. That doesn't mean God loved everybody. Let me tell you what I believe John 3:16 means. It means he loved everybody. Amen. And when John chapter 1 says that he came to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe, Jesus came that all men through him might believe. I don't have to determine that that's really not all. And I love this. I can look at people and say, God loves you with the John 3:16 love. Jesus died for you because the Bible says so. There was a time in my life where I couldn't do that. I would say things like, Jesus died for sinners. And that's accurate. And so there was a time in my life where I had this question. God tells us to go preach the gospel to every creature. And here's the best answer I was ever given. Well, why do we go to every creature? And people would say, well, because you don't know who the elect are, and so God says, go to them all, because we don't know who the elect are. There is nothing in Scripture that would indicate that at all. That God would send us out, and there's only a select few. I believe that God tells us to go to all creatures because he wants all saved, and the only hope they have is the power of the gospel. So I say things so, you know, dogmatically. And I want you to know, I love people on either side. And I think we can get along. Let me show you what John MacArthur, and I like John MacArthur. I've said before, and I still agree with this, that he's one of the best expositional teachers in our time. John MacArthur says this, and many, maybe some in this room would agree with this. Election is the act of God whereby in eternity past, he, God, chose those who will be saved. We're going to look at all 27 verses. Not one verse says that. They'll be in front of you. Where I'm at, I bought into what the word election means, and that's not what the word election means. It means to pick out or choose. We'll see that in just a second. Is election the act of God whereby in eternity past he chose those who will be saved? My question is, where does the Bible say this? A dear friend of mine, whom I love, who wouldn't agree with my message tonight, Ron Chris, some of you know him. He's been on our pulpit. He can preach. Just so you know, not everybody that we support as missionaries agrees with me. I'm okay with that. It's not a litmus test for me. It's, are they gospel-centered? Do they love the Lord Jesus Christ? And will they lift him up and then let God do the work? So it's not a litmus test for me. Never has been. Never will be. Ron Crisp says this, you are saved because you're elect. You're not elect because you're saved. My question is, where does the Bible say this? And if the Bible said that, I would preach it. Nowhere will you find that statement. Nowhere will you find that indication. And we'll look at a few controversial verses tonight. So what I want to do is, now let's just look at what the word means. You'll see at the bottom of page one. There's three different Greek words that result in the 20. There's 24 times in the New Testament. I didn't list out the three times that it was in Hebrew. It means the same thing, but these are the Greek words, right? So look at eklektos. It's used the most. It's translated 16 times elect and 7 times chosen. I will list out every verse that is not translated elect. You'll see those as well on your paper. The word elect simply means picked out or chosen. It doesn't mean picked out or chosen for salvation. It means picked out or chosen. It's used both in a secular sense and it's used in a spiritual sense. It does not mean, in the very definition, picked out or chosen. This is interesting to me. Like a John MacArthur, he would disagree with what I'm saying tonight. He's also off on the word ecclesia, which means a called out assembly. John MacArthur believes in a universal invisible church. He's off on that definition, and I think he's off on this definition. Because I think some people want to believe that this is God picking out or choosing to salvation. If the Bible says it, let's believe it. The second word, eklogē, is translated 7 times it's used, 6 times election, 1 time chosen, the act of picking out or choosing a thing or person chosen. Very similar to the definition of eklektos. And then finally, the one where in 1 Peter 5:13, soon eklektos, it just means elected together with or chosen together with. As God, the Bible says, God adds to his church daily. And God is the one that adds or takes away from his church. And God has that authority. I'm not removing authority from God. What I'm doing is I'm just trying to lay out for you, what does the Bible say? Again, this is so that you at least know, what does your pastor believe? And I've tried to be honest and lay out the scriptures. Now let's begin on page 2. What I've done here is I've listed out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Am I right? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 12 of the 27 times that the word elect, elected, election show up in the scriptures. 12 of the 27 times, you all, whichever side you're on, would agree it has nothing to do with who will be saved. 2 of them, let's look at this, are about Jesus. Look at Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. Jesus is the chosen one of God, not chosen to be saved. Chosen for special service, that's what I would suggest. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus called God's elect. Nothing to do with who would be saved. 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Talking about Jesus. Precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Jesus twice referenced as God's elect. The chosen one of God. So here we have just my first split of this. The word elect used, and it has nothing to do with who would be saved. I think honesty would say yes. Now then let's look at verses that call Israel God's elect. Isaiah 45:4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I want you to know this. Israel was the chosen nation of God, the elect nation of God, the chosen people of God. Did that guarantee their salvation? What's interesting, and so I want to be gentle, for someone to say that election is what delivers your salvation, it sure wasn't for Israel, was it? But that's what the Jews thought, didn't they? They thought, we're God's elect. We're saved. God chose them as a nation, chose them, elected them as a nation for special service through whom the Messiah would come. So let's read Isaiah 45:4 again. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 65:9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Speaking of Israel as well, when we get to Isaiah 65, you'll see that on Wednesdays. Isaiah 65:22, they shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and mine elect, speaking of Israel, shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Romans 9:11, we went through that last week. And it's talking about God's selection of Jacob versus Israel, God's selection of Isaac versus Ishmael. And it was his election, his choice, but he elected them as a nation. He wasn't talking about individual salvation. We can have disagreements there, but I think, look, here's what I've studied with this. I haven't tried to find people that agree with me. I've really studied the people that disagree with me. All the people that would say that election is God in eternity choosing who would be saved would agree Romans 9:11 is dealing with Israel. Romans 11:5, 11:7, 11:28, we'll read those. We will go through those in detail in weeks and months to come, but these also relate back to Romans 9. Romans 9, 10, 11 are all about Israel and how Israel and the Gentiles and God's great plan for them. Romans 11:5, even so at this present time also is there a remnant according to the election of grace. Speaking of Israel, we'll get there in weeks to come. Go study it. Say, you know, I don't think you're right, Pastor, and that's okay. I know you'll do it in love. Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Again, it's talking about God not forgetting his covenant with Israel. got to be careful that you don't think Romans 11:7 is dealing with individual salvation. If it is, then you can lose it because they were cut off. Anyway, Romans 11:28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. I think Romans 11:28 is more clear because you can see this. God put aside Israel, but for the sake, but the election, but as touching the election, his choosing, his promises, his covenant, his commitment to them as Israel, they are beloved for the Father's sake. He still loves Israel today. They have forsaken him, and the blessings of God are not on them as they were if they would believe. Now, 2 Timothy 2:10, we can have a separate discussion with this. This is clear to me. It says, therefore, this is Paul, therefore, he's talking about his trials. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I am confident this is speaking of Israel. If it's not, it would be strange for Paul to say, I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may also. Because Paul would say this if he believed that it was predetermined and set and God chose it from eternity past. He would say, I do all things for the elect's sake that they will or they may obtain, not also. It's showing the heart of Paul. He's speaking to Timothy here. He's speaking to Timothy, one man, and he is still saying, I do all things, even though I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I still, my heart is with Israel, I think as illustrated in Romans 9, 1 through 5, that we covered just a couple of weeks ago. So there's room for debate on some of these. Romans 11, I think you'll see it's dealing with Israel. Again, if you agree, God's election of Israel had nothing to do with who would be saved. Same word. What was his election for? Special service, special honor, special privilege. Now then let's look at angels. This is interesting. 1 Timothy 5:21. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Again, this is God, and so it's, he just calls them elect angels. It is a description. We have to add a whole bunch in to tell me what that's about. But I believe this. Those were the angels that were faithful. They did not follow Lucifer. They did not follow the devil. And he chose them for special service. That's what I believe the consistency of Scripture is. Here's what I do know. The election of angels had nothing to do with salvation. Jesus didn't die for angels. They couldn't be saved. My broad point here is, election is used without dealing with who would be saved. 12 out of the 27 times, does it suddenly have a second definition or a second meaning? Maybe. Let's see what the scriptures say. And then finally, in church membership, he says in 1 Peter 5:13, he says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Again, God adds to his church. And so when God brings people into our midst and he joins them into our midst, that's God. Some think I'm weird. I've gotten some bad feedback, some good feedback. I don't pursue people from other churches. I'm not trying to influence them. I'm not trying to steer them. If someone's lost, I will aggressively pursue them. If someone doesn't have a church home, I'll be a little bit more pesty. Not because I'm trying just to get people to come to church, but I want to help them. If they're out there on their own, they're suffering. So, but if someone comes from another church, it's probably, one, I don't want their problems. And but God's people need a church home. I used to be really rough in the early years. How many remember how rough I used to be years ago? I used to be really rough that if you came from another church, you would not come back. Not good. Not good, okay? So God's people need a church home. And but we didn't start a church in order to have a landing spot for other Baptists that are disgruntled at their church. We started a church so that we could reach the world for Jesus Christ and reach our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. I'm not upset that we have transfers here from other churches, that I've grown up. But it's really not our purpose. If God didn't allow souls to be saved, I would struggle. I have to be careful what I say. I'm not good. I'll say crusty Baptist, right? I'm not saying you're a crusty Baptist. You know what I want us to be? I want us to be excited about Jesus Christ and his gospel. That's what I just want us to, I just want to be excited about him. And if you're excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm excited. Now turn over to page 3. I want to give you then what I will tell you is just simple descriptions, nouns or adjectives that just simply use the word elect, elected. And these passages do not give insight into the purpose or reason for election. Again, remember that definition that John MacArthur gave? Election is the act of God whereby in eternity past he chose those who will be saved. Have we seen a verse that indicates that yet? We haven't. Now let's look at these other verses that have an adjective or description. I'm not attacking people that believe what I used to believe, okay? I promise I'm not. It's daunting when you see the scriptures, but look at Matthew 24:31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other. I want to tell you this. Synonymous with elect are believers. Believers were chosen for special service. So, not trying to ignore the word elect, but you could say he gathered together those that believe. Matthew 24:22. Let's just keep going down. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Just want to make a comment. I'm not going to try to preach too much tonight. But does that indicate, that verse is just powerful, the deception of the devil, that those that are believers, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We saw that in Romans 8. That he shortens the tribulation so that for the elect's sake, for those that are saved, for those that he's chosen for special service, so that they won't fall for the devil's deception. The devil's nobody to mess with. That's just an amazing verse, but that was just a freebie. Now, then I've just put sub-verses down that almost say the same thing as Matthew 24:22, because you know the Gospels speak of the same thing, just at a different angle. Mark 13:20, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Again, doesn't tell us what he's chosen them for, but he has chosen them. No issues. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Again, those that God's chosen. Chosen for what? Mark 13:27. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect, believers, his elect, from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Luke 18:17. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Talking about really just the patience of the Lord. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, to those that believe? It could be a similar description, but it says God's elect. That's good. The ones God's chosen, chosen for what? It is God that justifieth. All I'm telling you is these are descriptions. They're nouns or adjectives that do not, even in the context, tell you what were they chosen for. To be clear, I have made a conclusion what election's about. I gave you my 5 reasons, consistent with the definition, consistent with the historical definition, consistent with, I'll show you some verses that he's chosen us for special service. And I know that's underwhelming and anticlimactic, but I think that's scriptural. I'm very excited because you can rest easy when you see that. Christian, you were chosen for special service unto the Lord. Now get with it. You were chosen to serve the Lord uniquely, and we'll look at some verses. Now let's look at Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, the chosen of God. You were chosen for special service. Okay, doesn't say that, but let's just say put on therefore as the elect of God. It doesn't tell us what it was about. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Doesn't tell us what it's about, but knowing your election of God, I'll tell you, it's a challenge. You were chosen to specially serve him. 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. It's interesting that you're told to make your election sure. If God chose who would be saved, why would that matter? Not going to change anything. I know that's I don't mean to be sarcastic, but really, that's a waste. Unnecessary. Right? Make your calling and election sure. It doesn't matter if he already decided it. But it does matter, because work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you. I'm going to be clear. It's God that must work. It's God that must move to save souls. But the beautiful thing is, he tells us he does move. Now let's look at Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, believers, chosen, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known thy truth. 2 John 1:13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. I went through those quickly because they're simple descriptions. Did those verses tell us that election, let me get the definition right, did those verses tell us that election is the act of God whereby in eternity past he chose those who would be saved? Did those verses give us that insight? They didn't. I was told what that word meant, and then I had to do a whole bunch of gymnastics with a lot of other verses. I'm telling you, that's not what the word means. I haven't yet found that election is the act of God whereby in eternity past he chose those who will be saved. I haven't found that you are saved because you're elect. You are not elect because you're saved. I will tell you, I believe God chose you to special service because you're saved. That has nothing to do with your salvation. That has nothing to do with that at all. It is this, that God, in his greatness, has allowed his people to have a blessing to be chosen for service, great service for him. There is one other verse in the 27, and that's right here. The condition of election. I was told for many years that election was unconditional. I will tell you this, it's funny because there is a condition with election. I don't even care. Here's what it says. You are elect, and there is a condition. That's my only point. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now there are many that will say, well, this is God looking in the future, and then he chooses who will be saved based on who will believe. I thought that was just silly. I don't find that anywhere. I don't believe that. So I probably stepped on toes there too. Maybe I got a little bit too sarcastic there too. So I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. But you know what I believe? The foreknowledge of God is his omniscience. All I know is this, you're elect because you're saved. And he chose you to special service. But I will tell you, there is a condition of election, and that's in 1 Peter 1, 2. I hope no matter what, you can't ever say that election's unconditional, because there's a condition. Now we could have debate all day long, what is that condition? But it's conditional. It's according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But for me, I don't know if it really matters when it's just simply that we were chosen for special service of the Lord. That's consistent. When we elect people today, we choose them for special service. When God chose his children, elected his children, it was for special service. Now let's look at the 8 verses that were translated chosen versus elect, elected, or election. They were from the same Greek words. You'll see there's 7 times with eklektos, and there's 7 with eklauge. You'll see that there, and let's look at those and see if those same Greek words, if those give us any insight that would match this definition, that election is the act of God whereby in eternity past he chose those who will be saved. Thus far, and here's what I would suggest. Let's love each other tonight, but schedule a time with me, and let's lovingly meet, and let's lovingly discuss this. But you don't have to, like, jump on me tonight. Let's do it in love. Let's do it in love. And if I tell you this, and confront me if I've offended you or I've been mean-spirited. That's not my intent at all. But let's look at these other 7 verses that use the word chosen. Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. I remember this for years. This was a great thing. People go, many are called, but few are chosen. Both of these passages, they're parables. Remember what a parable is? It's a story that comes alongside already revealed truth. Don't use a parable to establish truth. But let me help you with this as well. This makes a ton of sense. Many are called, but few are chosen. That would seem to be a great tease, would it not? It would seem to be that God says, come all ye that thirst. Nah, I just chose a few. Come all! No. See, it's not what it's about. If it's about salvation, that verse is tons confusing, isn't it? When it says many are called, I believe that's consistent. The word many in Romans and elsewhere is used for all. The call of God to repentance and belief in Christ is to all. Few are chosen for special service unto the Lord. The few chosen match the few that find it in Matthew 7. The Bible's clear about this. In terms of the mass population, there's going to be few that are saved. And guess what? Few that are saved would match few that are chosen for special service. Many are called, but few believe and are chosen for special service. That's God elevating us for special service. It's not man. Go back and look at these passages in their context. Look at Luke 23, 35. The rest of these are just, again, descriptions. They don't tell us anything. Look, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others and led himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God, the electos of God. Again, not for salvation, but for special service unto the Lord. Romans 16, 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Chosen for what? Doesn't say. 1 Peter 2, 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen generation. I'll talk about this in just a second. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That, why? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This, you see this? You're a chosen generation to do things special, that you might show forth his praises. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, chosen for special service unto the Lord, that you should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And then Revelation 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen, the word electos, and faithful. See, I want you to understand this. I want you to be comfortable with this. I want you to study this personally. I can tell, folks, but there's so much confusion. My guess is you've never heard a message like this. Not because I'm patting myself on this back, because you know what? I never did. And I don't recommend you walk up to somebody and go, man, I'm chosen of God. You know what you could say? You know, the Lord has allowed me to serve him specially. And you've just said the same thing. And so I want you to understand that that's what it is. Now let's look at the word eklauge, and it says in Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me. This is talking about Paul, chosen for special service. Paul, chosen as the apostle out of due season for the Gentiles. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. You see the special service? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Acts 9:15 talks about eklauge. It says, Paul was chosen specially, special service. Paul was specially chosen for that particular ministry. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to quickly look at just 1 Peter 2:9. I've already said that. These are verses indicating God's choosing for special service. I could have done more, but I was trying to limit them to special, where it said chosen or elect. I wanted you to see that. So 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I've talked that. Now look at John 15:16. Many times people quote this to me, and I used to quote it. I used to do all kinds of things. And I'm just glad God's patient. John 15, 16, Jesus. John 14, 15, 16, and 17 is Jesus encouraging the 11. John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all, John 17 is Jesus' prayer, but John 14, 15, and 16 are just Jesus and the 11. Judas is gone. Never forget context. Jesus looks at the 11. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. What special service? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. He's looking at the 11 right before he's about to go to the cross, and he's like this, guys, I chose you, you crudballs, losers. Now, Jesus never said that. That's why I was born in the 21st century and not the first. And he's just saying this, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Peter, come and follow me. He chose them for special service, he said, and ordained you. Ordained them to special that you should go and bring forth fruit. I will tell you, here's my challenge for you tonight, those that would disagree with me. It is, did I read one verse that said election is God in eternity past choosing who would be saved? Now let's look at a controversial verse. And this is the verse that people will turn to. I could turn to a ton. Because it all depends on your lens. If you have a lens that says election is God choosing who would be saved, you view verses differently. If you just have a lens that says God wants all saved, as he says in the scriptures, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and look at this. It says, Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica here says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, there you go. So let me just give you one thought. Maybe that's what that verse is talking about. That's one verse. Could that verse mean something else? Or because, does it mean because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth? Let me give you three things that here's what's important to do. I never used to do this. I would always view passages with one lens, with one possibility, and I said, that's what it means. I'll give you this. This could mean something else other than that God chose from eternity who would be saved. Because he doesn't even use the term eternity, but we'll get to that. Here's what I believe. First, he says, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. It doesn't stop there. I used to see marquees. I've seen them in Church of Christ, 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, and they stopped. That's dishonest. The parenthesis says, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. But the Church of Christ wanted the pedal that you have to be baptized, so they quoted 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, and they stopped. Well, this is a phrase, so let's not stop the phrase. Paul gives thanks to them always because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, he's talking about the means of salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He is praising God for the means of salvation. Praise the Lord for how he saves us. That's what Paul, his primary purpose is. But I want you to understand that you look at the word, it means to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose. Now let's just assume this. So I'll give this. Let's assume that Paul was saying, I thank God that he chose you to salvation. I believe it's saying, I thank God that he chose to save you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I think he was praising God for the means of salvation. But let's assume that he was saying, I thank God that he, from the beginning, chose you to salvation. So I want to ask you, who's the you? He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He's thanking them if it is dealing with the who. See, I think he was primarily dealing with the what, the means of salvation. But if he's dealing with the who, it's this. I thank God that he also included the Gentiles in the work of salvation. You see, that's the shocker. The church at Thessalonica was a Gentile church. He could be thanking them for God choosing them for salvation, choosing both the Jews and the Gentiles. Third, it's this. John MacArthur and those that would disagree with me believe that in eternity, God chose who would be saved. That's not what this verse says. He says, I thank God who chose you from the beginning. Paul used the word that was translated eternity dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. If Paul was trying to teach here that salvation was chosen in eternity past, he could have easily used that word. But here's what he's saying. Hey, Church of Thessalonica, this wasn't God going, boop, boop, boop. Hey, got a great idea. Holy Spirit, come over here. Jesus, what do you think about including the Gentiles? It's an awesome idea. Paul's saying this. This has been the plan from the beginning. To choose Jews and Gentiles. First came to the Jews and also to the Greek. Folks, I don't think this is the smoking gun. I think this is simply consistent with the Scriptures. We ought to thank God for including the Gentiles. Amen? We ought to thank God for the means of salvation. Amen? We ought to thank God that it's been His plan from the beginning. That verse is not that difficult. It's the verse that people do. I'm not going to go into John 10. I could go into many other passages. John 10 is one that people use. Go back and review John 10. People would tell me this, and I used to believe this. John 10 was such that when Jesus said, "You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." The suggestion there is that Jesus was actually saying, "I didn't choose you. You're not my sheep." Now understand this. Why would he say that? Go back and look, because then he begs them to believe later, and I think it's verse 38. He's saying this. They thought they were his sheep. They thought they were followers of God. He goes, "You're not. If you were my sheep, you would believe me and you would follow me." He's being honest with them. It's sort of like you and I when somebody goes, "Absolutely, I'm a Christian." No, you're not. That's difficult, right? That's the United States of America. Are you a Christian? I pledge allegiance to the flag. You know, I mean, it's they don't know what a Christian is, right? So when, "Are you a Christian?" Everybody in the United States says yes. And then the difficult part is, well, if you were a Christian, you would hear his voice and you would follow him. That doesn't mean that, "I'm sorry, too bad, so sad, you're dead, you can't be saved." Jesus isn't saying that in John 10. That's what I've been told through the years. That's the interpretation of that. I could go passage after passage after passage. I know part of me has gotten, just in my illustrations, maybe offensive to those that don't agree with me, but I just want to tell you this. Let the Scriptures do the talking. I didn't for too long of my life. I've studied this. You can find books that'll cause you to believe exactly the opposite of what I just taught. Stick with the book. I'm not saying I could win a debate. I'm not interested in being part of a debate. I think this is a secondary issue. I don't think it's a primary teaching of God's word. Here's what I think the primary teaching is. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to reach the world, all people. Amen. That's what I believe. That's the theme of the Bible. I'll just leave this with you. In the last 9 years since I was part of this, the beginning of this work, I've read the Bible more than I ever have in my life. The person just reading the Bible would never, this is me, this is my perspective, my belief. I don't think anybody that would read the Bible would walk away from the Bible and go, "Wow, God only wanted a few people saved. And eternity passed, he picked a few, and the rest be damned." And if they were damned, rightly so, because they would, you know, die in their sin, and I know all the arguments. But is that the message of the Bible, that God selected a few? I have good news for you. You don't have to worry if your child's elect. You don't have to worry if your grandchild's elect. That's not what the Bible's teaching. The Bible's teaching the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. You've been kind tonight. You haven't thrown darts at me with your eyes. But I want you to know this. Study the Scriptures. Do not believe because you like what I said. Because you're like, "Man, that sounds good. That's what I believe." You'll be chewed up and spit out. You need to know why you believe and what you believe, and you need to study it. I've been dominated with this for years. And it culminated in this message tonight. And I'm thrilled that I'll never doubt again. God's choosing was for special service. And I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that I might bring forth his light to the masses. Let's pray.